We're beginning to do a study on Christ the Healer, and I'm just going to do as long as it takes, go through all the scriptures. Christ is Healer. I feel, with all that's happening right now, sickness and so forth, it's really important that our faith is strengthened and established relative to knowing Christ is Healer. And if we don't hear the word and abide in it, stay in it, we won't have the faith to receive what we need when we need it. So we're going to go today to Matthew chapter 8. I begin at verse 1. And this is the account of a leper being healed by the Lord. We'll also look at Mark 1 and Luke 5 at the different accounts of this incident, because each place in the Gospels, there's a little different thing thrown into the mix there that helps us get the full picture or the full revelation that God would want us to have. So Matthew 8:1 says, when he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. This is following, he was teaching what's referred to as a Sermon on the Mount. And behold, there came a leper, worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now, what happened here is Jesus had already had been ministering healing, preaching the gospel and healing, and that's recorded in Matthew chapter 4. Lepers were not allowed to be around the people. They lived in a colony because it's a very contagious disease, and it would eat away your skin. So this man heard, and faith rose in his heart. He heard of the miracles Jesus was doing, and he believed that Jesus was able, because of what he heard, he was able to heal him. But his issue was that, was he willing to? And you have to understand, lepers were cast out of society, and they were not allowed to be around anyone except other lepers. And you would have family members take food for them, maybe set it out on a certain hillside. Hopefully, they would get it before the animals or ants would get in there, whatever, rats, get in there and eat the food. That's the only way they were getting anything. So what they would have experienced was a spirit of rejection. They felt unwanted. And people saying, stay away from me, sort of much like today, with all the fervor about COVID and all the fear spirit. You don't have a mask on, don't come around me. You don't have a vaccine. And it's nonsense and a spirit of fear. It's really a disgrace for Christians to pick that up. I feel they disgrace themselves in the faith. But that's all I'll say on that. But same thing. And they want you to feel shame, to stay away, to force you into, will you do what a man's saying is going to save you? Well, we recognize Jesus as our Savior. And there's things man does to help us at times, but he is the healer, not man. So the lepers really suffered from a spirit of rejection, and they had to overcome that. So this man believed Jesus was able, but because of that rejection spirit, he didn't really know that Jesus wanted to heal him. And one of the things we have to realize is that sin separates us from God. Sin in our life brings condemnation. And with that condemnation, you can feel, well, God doesn't maybe he doesn't want to do something for me because your sin condemns you. And that's the great virtue in knowing the righteousness of God by faith, is that that condemnation is removed by Jesus, and we stand, we're in right standing, or we can stand before him and receive all that he has for any of us, and that his love extends the same to everyone. And that's something when we begin to know the love of God, that God's love is the same to everyone. Where when there's condemnation, you could think, well, because something's dirty in my life or wrong over here, he might love you more than me. He might favor you, but not want to do for me. That's where it's very, very important that we come to understand righteousness and can throw off all condemnation, because it forms in our mind we're not worthy of something. And many people, because they lack understanding that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed to cleanse us from all sin and to put us in right standing with God, because they lack the understanding of that, then they begin to have this thought process like begging God, oh God, help me, do something for me, or oh, I'm not worthy. And they try to appeal to God emotionally rather than look at what the Lord has done and stand in faith relative to here's what the Lord's done for me. And he loves us all just the same. So again, the leper has that consciousness because all that they know is rejection. You're different. You're not worthy. You can't be around the nation. You're an outcast. So the leper comes to the Lord in hope of healing. And had he been known to be a leper and been around the people like this, they could have stoned him to death, because that was the penalty. Lepers were not to come into contact or interact with the people. Now, one of the things with all this pandemic stuff, while making mention of that, is that in the Bible, if someone had a contagious disease, you separated the infected person. You didn't quarantine the whole nation. So everything that's been done 2 years ago was against Scripture. You know, if you're contagious, love would say you would stay away. That's love. Well, I don't want to infect when I know it's contagious. But what the devil did was perpetrate a spirit of fear and say, well, you all have to stay away. And it's just a spirit of control at work. So the leper comes to Jesus. He's running the risk of being killed, but the hope of the possibility he could be healed and live drove him to take that risk, to take that risk. So he comes to the Lord and says, if you're willing, I know you can. He had faith in the ability of the Lord to heal, but he didn't know if he was willing. Now, one of the things we'll see over and over in the Gospels is that there were sometimes Jesus said, do you believe I'm able? And they needed to believe that God was able to do a miracle or perform the healing that they needed. Because sometimes people don't believe that. Well, you could heal a headache, but you can't heal cancer. You could heal a toenail, but not my broken leg. And is he able? And then also, is he willing? And that's the bottom line. And that's to bring it down as simple as can be. And when you're in a lot of pain, you have to keep it simple. If you can't focus, you have to keep it simple. And here is the simplicity of it. God is able. God is willing. God is able. God is willing. And if you're having trouble even thinking straight, maybe a pain in your head or whatever, just think on that. God is able. God is willing. Now, in this instance, the issue is, Lord, are you willing to? Because of the rejection syndrome the lepers dealt with. That's all they knew was rejection. Some people experience rejection in their life, maybe by their father or mother. And that sticks with them their whole life until they know God, who is greater, he loves me, he's impartial. And by faith, they see God's love for them, and they forgive their earthly parent, and they can break free from that spirit of rejection. But there are many people who will carry that with them their whole life. And everything they encounter goes through this filter, like, is someone rejecting me or not? They'll read into what people say, oh, you're rejecting me. And maybe someone just didn't understand you and asked them a question. No, you're rejecting me. So sometimes in helping people, I mean, you need to understand that. What is it that's hindering them? And then you bring the truth that would set them free. And many times other things will fall in line, like dominoes falling down. So again, in his case, knowing I will, it's my will. I desire to heal you, Mr. Leper. I don't see you according to your flesh, but I see you in spirit the same as everyone else. Now, we want to learn to not know people according to the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:16, Paul said, I know no man after the flesh. In other words, you don't look at someone on the outside and just make this judgment. So, you know, in his case, well, they see a leper and they just reject him. No, we don't want to do that. So the Lord says, I will. Jesus put forth his hand then and touched him. He says, I will, and be cleansed. And immediately he was cleansed. Now we go to Mark chapter 1, and we see Mark's account of the same thing. Mark 1, down at verse 40. It says, there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, saying unto him, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, that part of it spoken the same. The leper believed Jesus was able because he heard he had already been doing miracles. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. He was moved with compassion. Now, we see that expression at various times in the Gospels. And as we go through the Scriptures, we'll come across this again. But he was moved with compassion. And sometimes, you know, we'll use the word love interchangeably with a lot of things. And compassion is like a form of the love of God, but it's linked to an identification. I identify with you in your pain and your suffering. My heart goes out to you in love as a result of identification. Jesus was the Word made flesh. He became like us, and it brings out in Hebrews chapter 4 that he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities as a result of that. He had compassion on us because he knows what it is to be on this earth as a man, as a human being. He knows all the tests, the trials, the emotions, the feelings, and his heart is touched because he identified with us. And that's where compassion will begin to flow. And compassion is like a river that would carry a boat floating down the river. Compassion will carry the healing power of God to people. And his compassion, it proceeds out of his love, but it's coupled with an identification. So Jesus, being made man, he can identify with every challenge every human being has. That's why it goes on, it says in Hebrews, that he understands every temptation and every test, and he's able to deliver you out of it. His heart's touched. Now, one of the things that being that we were made in the image of God, every one of you have a desire that someone understands you. There is an inherent desire. God created man to have a people that would know him and ultimately be with him in heaven forever and ever, understanding his heart, his character, his ways, which can be summed up that God is love. The angels see what he does and what he did. They see the majesty of his glory. But they don't know what it is to be forgiven. They don't know what it is to receive mercy or grace. They don't need that. They've never known anything but his presence. Now, the fallen angels, they don't get another shot. But mankind does. And God desired for us to understand and to know him. That's why he even created humanity, to have a people that would know him. So inherently within all of us, we want someone to know us and understand us. And the relationships of greatest value in your life, and you think about this as I say this, the ones of greatest value are the ones with the person who most understands you. Now, ideally, you might have that in a marriage, but many marriages don't have that because of various reasons of the lack of understanding. But God desires in a marriage there be an intimacy there where you know every thought and intent of the heart of that other person, and you love them for who they are with all their imperfections. You don't require them to be perfect like you are in order for you to accept them and love them. But you love them with all their imperfections. But a relationship of value is one who understands you. And my eyes were open to something once I didn't understand for a number of years, and that was where John the Apostle, three times in the Gospel, John, he made a reference of himself being the disciple Jesus loved. And that used to puzzle me. He loves everyone the same, yet according to that, he loves someone more. So it sounds like a contradiction. Well, we know the Bible does not contradict itself. It's just when it seems that way or something we don't understand. And then my eyes were open to see that on the cross, when Jesus, even in the midst of all of his suffering, he still maintained his responsibility as the oldest son to know that his mother would be taken care of at his death, because Joseph had already died. So the firstborn was responsible. And he looks down at John and says, "Behold your mother," and says to Mary, "Behold your son." Now, the cultural protocol is the next oldest brother would have been responsible. But Jesus conferred that to John the Apostle. And what I saw was, John understood Jesus more than anyone else at that point. John wrote of Jesus. He wrote of him being love, life, light. The others wrote more just what he said and what he did. John understood in a deeper way who he was and his purpose. And he made reference, for this cause I've come down from heaven, for this purpose, to do the Father's will, to give my life, that you might have life. He understood what moved Jesus and who he was. So therefore, there's a greater value on that relationship. Now, Jesus died. He loved and died for everyone just the same. But the relationship with John was one of a higher value because of the understanding. Are you with me on that? So as we people desire someone to understand them, you know, many times they will draw near to someone who they feel understands them. And again, in a marriage, that is very, very important. And people will seek out to fellowship or to share the deeper things of their heart with someone who can listen and hear and understand. Because if you don't really hear someone's heart, you can't really be much of an encouragement. Oh, you might say good words. You might be nice. But that word in due season, if you don't really hear the heart, you're just talking out of your head. And many people, they think they're ministering to people and they're trying, but it's just stuff out of their head. But truly powerful, effective ministry comes out of, it's exactly what they need to hear. And Jesus, in his compassion, would discern the spirit and the heart of the people he encountered. And there's times he would say and do certain things, and it was exactly, pinpoint exactly what they needed. So, Jesus moved with compassion. He was touched by their infirmity. He understood them. Many times people will get upset and say, oh, nobody understands me. And they try to force it. You know, they just telling their problems to everybody. And then they get hurt because they're telling it to the wrong person. And that person just says something stupid out of their head or makes fun of you, whatever. And we have to learn, you know, that you don't cast a pearl before a swine. You don't just tell all your problems to whoever will listen to you. But can someone hear and understand and then have that word in due season that will speak to your heart? And you think about it, someone you would consider a closer friend, they're going to fall into this category that you feel they can hear and understand you and then speak to you in a way that speaks to your heart. Now, some people, they get hurt over and over and end up hardening themselves and never really bear their heart. And something's always lacking for such a person. Well, whether you feel any man understands you or not, Jesus understands you. And whenever you're tempted with that thought, you must discipline your mind to come back to, maybe no person understands me, but Jesus understands. Therefore, I am going to go to him. I am going to talk to him. And I am looking to him to encourage me, not a human being. Because if you make man your source to encourage you in the deep things, you will end up disappointed and offended. But the Lord is always able to encourage you and understand you if we'll open our heart to him to truly hear him from his word. He always, his compassion's always there. So again, don't let yourself fall into self-pity. Well, poor me, I'm the only one. Nobody understands me. That is a real trap to get you to isolate yourself and to pull back. We do not want to allow self-pity in our life at all. We're not going to move in a self-pity. but rather understand where I need a word from the Lord. I need understanding. I'm going to the Lord. If he uses a person, praise the Lord. If you have a friend that at times can understand you, praise the Lord for that. But we cannot allow ourselves to make man our source. There is an attached bondage that always is going to come with that. Feeling disappointed, let down, and offended. So, Jesus moved with compassion. Now, many times when people are very strong in a certain area of ministry, it was actually an area that they themselves suffered, and they in turn then develop a compassion. So you have someone maybe spent some years in prison. They know what it is to feel rejected, alone in prison, no hope, and their hearts touched by the suffering of those in prison, and they end up being the one God calls to go in there and to share the word. It's not because, well, they can bark at someone because they have experience with it. No, there's a compassion there. And I remember I first really saw that as I studied men and women of God who were mightily used in healing ministry. And the vast majority of them suffered greatly themselves. Some of them near the point of death. Some actually died, but then were raised up. They know what the suffering of sickness and disease is. They hate it. Their hearts touched by anyone who is suffering in that way. And it brings forth a compassion to give you the strength and to tap into the anointing to carry, in this case, that healing power. Compassion is really important. Now, any believer can pray a prayer of faith. Anyone can speak his word to another. God can use anyone. But what I'm talking about here, someone who really has a strong ministry of these things, you're almost always going to see the compassion flow with it. Now, many times you might have someone who maybe they were orphaned or very, very poor as a child, and their heart's touched by people in poverty, and they're willing to give their last dollar to help someone else who is in poverty. Or someone who is orphaned, they want to help orphan children. And right on down the line, a strong ministry flows out of compassion. Now, when, let's say, a lady gives birth to a child, you carried that child. You have, they were a part of you. They proceeded out from you. I speak by revelation with that, not experience. My wife would say, well, all men should have to have a baby just to know what we go through. Well, I say to her, well, then I wouldn't be a man. It's like, ladies, don't expect men to understand, okay, by experience. Now, we can, by revelation, have some understanding. It's not, sometimes people want someone to understand them, and they're not being reasonable. Why would you expect a person to understand what you're going through? You know, a child doesn't understand the responsibility of work and earning money and so forth. So you don't be trying to make them understand what daddy's going through, going out to the work field or whatever. And it's just say, you don't even like your job and you put a lot of hours in. You don't try to make someone understand. There may be someone who understands, but if there's no person, there is Jesus, who is a person, who he understands. Go to him. Tell him how you feel. He understands how you feel. Sometimes we don't need someone to comfort us in our feelings. We need someone to say, get up. Be strong. Move ahead. Many times people want empathy. That means identify with my feelings. No offense, but women are more inclined that way because you have a greater sensitivity in the realm of feeling or emotion. God designed you that way. It's not wrong. That's how God designed you. Men don't expect women to be tough and strong like you. Some of them are stronger than men. But don't deny women the right to be sensitive. A lot of men will do that. Get tough, woman. What, you're not ministering to her. That's why sometimes women need a girlfriend. Sometimes I'll tell my wife, Don, I'm not your girlfriend. You could view me as your best friend. I'm your husband, but I'm not your girlfriend. So as a man hears certain things, you're going to tend to say, okay, I hear what you're saying. I'm analyzing the problem. Here's the solution. Do this. And sometimes women, they need someone to identify emotionally. And then there's an encouragement that a woman can bring emotionally. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You ladies know what I just said, don't you? I mean, I might have talked over the head of the men here. You ladies know what I'm saying. And, sometimes women need, they need that tough, all right, you cried enough, get up and let's go. Sometimes that's what's needed. You don't need more empathy. But there are times that the emotion may need to be ministered to first. And I would liken that under what's called the comfort of the Holy Ghost. He will comfort us, but then he's going to begin to exhort us to get up, be strong, walk, move forward. You can't just wallow with emotion. At the same time, we don't deny emotion. And compassion, the love of God's touching our emotion. And there's times where in our identification with people, we may weep over their suffering. That's an expression of emotion. There's times I'll find myself weeping over things, and I'm not an emotional guy. I think the older I get, the more I'm maybe a little bit more emotional, more quickly. I remember some years back, just in times of prayer, seasons of prayer, this compassion would start coming over me. I might be up in prayer room here, just start weeping. It's like, Lord, what's going on? And he was stirring a compassion in me for people that had children with autism. And I couldn't do anything but weep. And it was a type of groaning in the spirit, prayer. And I didn't even know anyone personally that had an autistic child. But there was a stirring of compassion. Well, then within the next couple of years, I came to know maybe around four different families had autistic kids and what they went through. And even though I wasn't directly involved, I mean, just to pray for them. And then in some cases, my wife was in direct communication and trying to encourage and love on these people because it would be so hard and frustrating for them. Now, that's not something I tried to do or wasn't anything else. Just in the times of prayer, that began to come upon me, a compassion for them. Again, you get over into the healing power of God. Many times it's going to ride the wave of compassion. Now, I just pose a thought here. Do you ever experience compassion for anybody? We can start having a hardness skin on us we don't even realize. Now, I'm not advocating we need to go around crying all the time. I'm not advocating for that. But I'm just saying there are times compassion is going to affect you in a way where you feel overwhelmed, and it's in a mixture of the love of God with the realm of your soul that's involving your emotion. And that strengthens us to really press in. Now, I was starting to talk about women having a baby. I didn't finish that. That child was a part of you. And you hear that baby cry. Ladies, mothers, can you say amen here? You hear that baby cry and it just grabs a hold of your heart. I'll never forget years ago, we had ladies' Bible study, and there were some times I needed to fill in for my wife, and we'd do that. It was actually in that building down there, and there was a lot of young mothers. There was probably like 10 mothers and infants at that time. Some of you were there, and it was funny, in the next room, it was block walls, the young kids were in the nursery. And what was funny, I'm sitting here teaching and I'm watching this. You faintly hear a baby cry. And there's like 20 sets of ears going, like antennas going up. And each mother could know the faint cry of their baby. I mean, it wasn't distinct. It's through block wall. And, you know, they would... And I would lose them, really. I mean, because now the thing dominating their minds is my baby okay? Is that my baby crying? Of course, they could hear it. There's all just a bunch of babies crying to me. But that mama being so knit in spirit to that child that they carried for 9 months, they've been nursing and feeding and caring for. I mean, that baby just roll over in the crib and grunt. Wake up. And I can remember when we had our first, of course, then, you know, you have a room for the baby and they're in a crib in the middle of the night. I mean, Jared could just roll over and grunt or something. And we'd both sit right up in bed. And if you had that experience, because our spirit was so tuned in to the voice of our child. And you see, that's like a link or an expression relative to the compassion of the Lord. You are so identified that you are so sensitive. You hear that baby turn over in bed and grunt, and you're at attention, ready to minister to their need. Well, in spirit, when it comes to ministering to people, that type of sensitivity can be there for us as a result of compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion. He identified with this leper being outcast, being rejected. Jesus has said he knew sorrow and rejection. He was rejected even though he was perfect love. He was the Son of God, but he was rejected. That was really the part of his suffering we identify with. So he was moved with compassion. And that caused and to touch this man. On to Luke chapter 5, we see the same account in Luke. And in particular, I want to draw attention a few minutes yet to verse 15. In the verses previous to the same account, comes, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And it says he put forth his hand and touched him. Now again, you, with lepers, you didn't touch them. Jesus had a greater faith in the healing power of God in him, that the power of God in him was going to kill the contagion of leprosy, not leprosy overpower him. So as we have strong faith in that way, you know, we could have faith to go up and grab the COVID person by the hand and say, bless you, brother, in the name of Jesus, you're healed. Hallelujah. Rather than put the sign of the cross up and stay 6 feet away. Now, granted, we need to walk in wisdom, and I'm not saying we should do this or that, but I remember being challenged reading of John G. Lake when the bubonic plague was back in the early 1900s, and how that you know, there was people like they'd be dying and they'd be like foaming at the mouth and all this. And he had told a scientist person, put that on my hand. It's going to die right in front of your eyes. And he did that. And the guy saw the plague virus or whatever. When it touched John Lake's hand, it died, not him. So it's a matter of where our faith is in the power of God. But verse 15 says, so much the more when a fame abroad of him and great multitudes came together to hear and be healed by him of their infirmities. They came to hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. Sometimes people just, well, say a prayer for me. Oh, nothing changed. Hear and be healed. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And when I studied out the words, English word by, it opened it up to me. Because there are four different Greek words that could be put into that one English word. And the first word is the word ek, there in Romans 10:17. It's out of. Faith comes out of the process of the hearing of the word. And then hearing by, the second time, is speaking of hearing unto completion. So you put that together, the faith to be healed, to receive that miracle is going to come out of the continual process of hearing the word of God and continuing to hear it until that word's completed in you. It's not just a matter of, yeah, I know that. I heard that once. Yeah, I know that. Well, I'm bored hearing it over and over. If that's your thought, you didn't even hear it yet. It's just in the mind. It's not in the spirit. But we hear. There's a process of continuing to hear the word till faith rises to receive the manifestation, to receive the victory. So the people were coming to hear him because it says in Romans or in Matthew 4, he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God and the gospel of healing. And they heard him speak about the healing power of God. Then they saw him do it, and it was confirmed. So people wanted to come and hear this gospel. And the reason why I'm going to just share all the scriptures here for many weeks as it takes, and maybe I'll start all over again, do it again. Oh, we heard that before, Pastor Bill. We need to hear unto the completed work. Now we are blessed with things like iPads. But back in the old days, we had cassette players. Some of you probably still have a box of them in your basement somewhere. But praise God for the recording that in your home. And it was like revolution, 1970s. We can hear the word over and over. And when I would travel, I would have a tape player and cassette tapes in my pants. Get those cargo pants. Well, now I can just take this with me. But we have all the tools. But are people pursuing to hear? To continue to hear? We need to keep hearing it. It's not about just knowing it in your head. But hearing until that word is manifest in our life. So that's why. Yeah, I really felt the Lord saying, you teach this over and over, week in, week out, because there is this onslaught of disease all around us. We need to be able to rise up, not putting our trust in man, but our trust in God, and partake of all that we have had provided for us as part of our inheritance, part of that being Jesus Christ is our healer.